You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach.
Call our toll-free number now.
Headlines, culture, and real conversation.
And now, our feature presentation.
Here's Pete and Greg.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. If you want to be a part of the conversation, give us a call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, we are going to be entering into the movie club discussing the 1983 classic, John Hughes written, Harold Ramis directed, National Lampoon's European Vacation.
That's not a classic.
That's the one I grew up loving the most, believe it or not, because that's one like came right in the time of my like just watching more television. But we're watching the original Vacation. That will be the subject of the Nightlight Movie Club, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on that. I am Greg Bach, coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine, all the way up the coast in Marinette, Wisconsin, a.k.a. Christmas City, USA, is Mr. Pete Schwabba. And then at HQ for Civic Media is Mr. Dom Lee on the ones and twos, and we are your Yonder Hey Triangle, here for you, here to have fun, and also we'll be wrapping things up with the nightcap. So we're going to have a great time. If you missed anything tonight, like our great conversation with Rob Thomas, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows, look for Nightlight and download past episodes, listen to them on the go, listen to them all over the world. And speaking of all over the world, if you want to check out any of our programs, listen to live music or talk, let's get your news, maybe send us a text message, give us a call. You can listen via the Civic Media app. Download it to your device today. Wherever you get apps, it's right there. It's absolutely free. It's a great way to stay in touch. And then finally, I don't want to say it's the old school way to do this, but it feels like it's the most, like it's the closest to snail mail. It's email. Have you heard of this? Electronic mail. Mm-hmm. You can do that. Drop us a note, nightlight@civicmedia.us, N-I-T-E-L-I-T-E at civicmedia.us. Let us know your thoughts on the show, ideas on a guest, ideas on a topic. We'd love to hear from you. Nightlight@civicmedia.us. That was a very fun first hour, guys. Anything?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Love Rob Thomas.
Yeah.
Love the chit-chat. It's like
banter.
Happy hour on the radio, right?
Exactly. It's like we're just hanging out at a bar. You know, it's just like having a drink, a cocktail, a mocktail, or maybe some free peanuts. I don't know where I'm
People
going.
Don't do the peanuts anymore at the bar.
Do you get excited? I get excited when I see peanuts, if they throw like, or a snack. Like they throw like a bowl of like whether it's a party mix or some of them's like, ooh, I'm going to eat these.
I used to scarf those things like there was no tomorrow. And then I heard about people coming back from the bar restrooms that don't always wash their hands. And supposedly they were like a petri dish of disgusting bacteria. Ooh. Sorry. I don't mean to
rain
it.
Well, cool. Banter killed. So
I just felt like we were having too much fun. Wanted to kill.
Well, that's why you take some Febreze and you just spray it on the snacks.
Yeah, just, that's fair.
It adds flavor, if you will. So
sure.
We do have a question of the night, as we always do here on this show. But before we get to the actual question, I, by contract, by legal means, must be introduced by a theme song. So Dom, hit it.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite blockbuster summer movie? Let us know. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. Again, we are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. What is your favorite all-time summer blockbuster movie? And we'd love to hear from you on this one. And yeah, we've already got some messages on the Facebook and on the text line, so we'll get to those in a moment. But let's start with the man in Christmas City himself, Mr. Pete Schwabba. What about you?
Well, I've thought about this long and hard, guys, and I have a couple different answers, as I often do, because I can't decide. But most recently, I'm going to say the Mission Impossible movies. They are an absolute great ride. Tom Cruise just rules at the box office. He is maybe the greatest movie star of all time. The movies are well-directed. They're well-written for what they are in that genre, and they are the perfect popcorn summer movie. I also loved Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which came out in 2019 during the summer. I don't know if it's technically blockbuster status, but it's up there. And then Terminator 2 back in 1992. Yes. I remember seeing that. Highly anticipated. Loved the first one. Couldn't wait to see the second one, and it didn't disappoint.
Wow. Oh, Terminator 2. I remember seeing that in the movie theater at Southgate Mall in Milwaukee with my cousin John. And I don't even think I told my parents, and that was an R-rated movie, and I was 14. I was 14 years old when that movie came out, and I remember thinking to myself, oh, I'm going to get in trouble, and that's like only if you tell them.
don't do
Dom,
that.
What? Yeah, exactly. I still haven't told my mom. She has no idea. Dom, what about you?
I gotta go. Guardians of the Galaxy. I love Guardians of the Galaxy. It's so good. I actually have another one though. I also like The Dark Knight Rises. I really like The Dark Knight. It was so good when
great
it came out.
One.
Watched it with my dad, and I absolutely loved it. Just the filming of it, the darkness, the vibe was just all there.
Excellent.
So
yeah,
those are my two.
It's funny, you know, you watch a film like Oppenheimer or Dunkirk, or probably if you see The Odyssey this summer, you go back and you watch The Dark Knight Rises and you're like, oh, this is a really good independent flick from Christopher Nolan. Real small, real, you know.
No kidding. Well, like Memento, though, is.
That's absolutely
what put him on the map. That was a total indie film. And it's great that his movies, when necessary, have that look.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I love listening to Christopher Nolan speak about film because he is probably the only guy in Hollywood when he talks about actually seeing a movie in the theater. I can sit there and say, you're right. Your films belong in a cinema at all times. Like, he left his deal, I think, with, I can't remember what studio he was with I think it was Warner Brothers. Yeah, it was Warner Brothers because they released Tenet on streaming. And he was like, I didn't make Tenet to be in the streaming market right away. I want that to be in the theater. And he's like, fine, I'm going to go across the street. And he did, because he has a certain quality control he wants to his films. And I don't disagree with that. I mean, can you imagine watching The Odyssey for the first time? Like, everyone gets to see it on your television.
Your 40-inch. Yeah. I have to say, I didn't love Tenet, though.
No, neither did I. No one did.
The studio is not always wrong.
No. Well, it's funny because, you know, now that this movie is coming out, they're doing a lot of press. He's doing a lot of press. And when they talk about his films, they'll say, like, he's the director of the Batman films and Dunkirk and Oppenheimer. Right. And no one's saying Tenet. The only time they talk about Tenet is like the fact that he crashed a 747 into a building live. He didn't do it CGI. And they're like, because that movie was weirdly mixed. The sound is very off. And he just wanted to make a James Bond movie. That's all he wanted to do, and he didn't. So, but The Dark Knight Rises is a fantastic, fantastic film. Oh my god, it still holds up.
Yeah, great choice.
Very,
what about you,
beautiful.
Greg?
I got two. One because it's in my heart, but I was not alive yet. Star Wars came out the same year I was born, like another summer blockbuster. But being alive, probably the first one I ever saw, remembering now, is Back to the Future. Saw that in the theaters.
Great one. I can't believe I didn't think of that. That's on my list, too. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to have one. It does. I mean, we said of all times, but honestly, have as many as you want.
Sure.
And for me, I remember I saw Back to the Future three times in the theater as a kid. Like, anytime someone was going, I wanted to go see it. I found it to just be mind-blowingly beautiful. And, of course, I went at the time when it said, like, at the end, because when it first came out, it didn't have this, but then they added it at the end where it says, to be continued. And you're like, oh, they're going to make another one? And then years later, you're like, why did they make another one?
I didn't mind two.
I don't mind two, but it's not.
Three lost me, but two, Biff is funny in two. I like two.
Make like a tree and get out of here.
Get out of here.
I do love that in two, he explains the fact that Biff always gets the joke wrong, because even as a kid, I'm like, I don't understand make like a tree and get out of here. What is that? Why is that funny?
Did the writers not know?
Yeah. Do they need me to call them and tell them this doesn't make sense? So, Dom, what are the people saying on the text line?
Yeah, we got a few here. We do have Zommers texting in, says, my favorite summer blockbuster has to be Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith. It was the first Star Wars released in theaters that I was old enough to see, and every second of that experience is etched into my mind. I think I still have some of the magazines I begged my parents for that had stills from the movie in the months leading up. Good response, Zommers.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And in my opinion, that's the best one of the prequels. It's really, really good. What else we got?
We also have Brett from Brown Deer says, when I was young, my dad took us to the drive-in to see the Green Berets. A little graphic for the kids, but it was a great memory. And then three of us five kids joined the Army so we could handle it.
Okay. Wow.
Okay. I believe you. I believe you, Brett. we also,
don't mess with
them. Yeah, what else we got? We got Melissa from Willie Street. My favorite old school summer blockbuster would have to be Back to the Future, just like Greg.
Yeah, there great. Can't believe I didn't think of that.
I believe you missed a text from Cindy there, Dom.
Oh, I did. Greg, you think we are a better society since the first Jaws? Have you forgotten who we have as president? Okay.
I would like to think there is some silver lining, some betterment. I understand what you're saying and I understand the point of it, but I cannot not be an optimist about certain things. And I even looked it up. There was an initial outcry and there were people murdering sharks because of Jaws. That's something we were talking about earlier in the show. But there has been a lot more conservation effort. There has been a lot more increase in the certain populations. And even Steven Spielberg came out and said, hey, we didn't mean to make you guys hate sharks. And there's been a lot of great work from the science world about how we educate people on the topic. So I understand what Cindy's saying, but I cannot let go of my inherent belief in the goodness of some people. I'll say that.
Yeah.
There we go.
There you go.
thank you, Cindy.
Yeah. We still have a few more here. We got Nick from Marshall saying, does Caddyshack count? Love that movie. Yeah. Such a comedy classic.
Yeah, that came out in the summer. Yeah.
It also, yeah. Absolutely.
Totally.
Absolutely.
That's what else we got. We got John listening on WMDX says, only the lonely. John Candy and Halle Sheedy and Anthony Quinn and Maureen O'Hara just made me miss Comiskey Park. Wow. There we go.
Oh, great text, John.
Wow,
thank you.
That is all beautiful. In depth.
That's a beautiful, beautiful movie. What do we have on the Facebook page?
Facebook, we're looking at Matt Harper, Green Bay rock rap artist, says, Twister 1996.
Oh, yeah.
And he got a verification, a voucher, if you will, from Lisa Hale, who says, I gotta go, Juliet, we've got cows, which is a line from the movie. And Matt says, I remember seeing this on the theater and sitting in the front row and feeling like I was on the road with them.
Yep.
Really great. And that's a great summer blockbuster, too. I didn't even think of that one. Scott Tom says, Star Wars, the whole franchise, and Top Gun Maverick, Mission Impossible franchise. Again, Tom Cruise, I mean, owns the summer. Thank you, Scott. Daniel Wheeler says Raiders of the Lost Ark, another great one I did not even think of. And then Derek Pfister posted a meme of Roy Scheider looking at the Jaws shark, which is kind of creepy. Tim Baker from my pal from Chicago says Jaws. Our civic media brethren, Greg, your Racine pal, Rich LoCascio, says Independence Day, another great summer blockbuster.
Yeah. Yes.
And Stacy Sue says The Color Purple and Star Wars. I would say Star Wars is probably our leader for sure at this point.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I will say it's funny, Independence Day, the first time I saw that movie was on a 12-inch TV screen. Makes that mothership look more like a dinner plate, and you're like, I'm not afraid of that.
That movie was so cheesy. I mean, it's fun. And I love seeing it in the theater, but it was pretty cheesy, but a great summer blockbuster.
It's like Twister. It's like, but when you see it in the theater, you're like, this movie rocks. It's so good.
Right.
So. All right. Speaking of movies, we're going to make our way into the movie club now. When we come back, we'll be talking about the absolute classic 1983 National Lampoon's Vacation, starring Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, and some other actors you probably recognize as well. But we'll be talking more about that on the other side, so don't go anywhere. You are listening and or watching Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Ladies and gentlemen, before our show begins, please silence your cell phones. The show is about to begin.
A sort of club.
You two are the boys that run the movie club.
Movie club.
Movie club.
I love these movies. Don't you love these movies?
Movies, movies, more movies.
This is the Nightlight Movie Club.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. My name is Greg Bach. All the way up in Marinette, Wisconsin is Mr. Pete Schwabe. And then at HQ in Madison is Mr. Dom Lee on the ones and twos. And you are officially part of the Nightlight Movie Club, where we pick a movie every Thursday, and in the second hour, we discuss it. And tonight's film is, don't play the timpani, tonight's film is the 1983 classic comedy, National Lampoon's Vacation, written by John Hughes, our second John Hughes movie, and directed by Harold Ramis, starring Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, a very young Anthony Michael Hall, Dana Barron, and John Candy. So, and others too. Other faces in that movie pop up, and you're like, oh, there's that guy. Hey, there's that guy.
A lot of great bit parts, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So we do this every week. We pick a movie and we talk about it. And this one was a Dom pick. Dom decided on National Lampoon's Vacation. Very good pick, my friend. And I want to start off something before we get into it. I want to make a small confession.
Please.
This is the first time I've ever seen this movie all the way through uncensored.
Whoa.
Wow.
I always saw this movie in bits and pieces on cable or network with censoring, bleeps, cut scenes, this, that, like I turn it on halfway through. I've seen the movie in parts, but this is the first time I ever sat down to watch it start to finish on as a movie with no commercial breaks and no interruptions and no swear words taken out or my mom saying, "What are you watching?" I think it was halfway through the movie when I realized that, and it's fantastic.
Wow. So yeah. What were your overall thoughts now that you've seen it, you know, in its entirety?
I mean, honestly, so I grew up a big fan of National Lampoon magazine. I loved that publication as a kid. And, you know, I probably should not have been reading it at all in my late single digits and early double digits. But, you know, they were around and no one really said anything, and they weren't up on the top shelf at the grocery store behind things. So you were like easily accessible. But it is the perfect distillation. This movie and Caddyshack are the perfect distillations of the best versions of National Lampoon magazine. Those first 5 to 7 years of the publication, of storytelling with pure irreverence, and I don't want to say shock, because it's, you know, I don't think they were building to shock. It was just they were, you know, John Hughes wrote the film he wrote, and it was coming from the mind of people who worked at that publication, which was a very irreverent magazine. And I loved it because it took me back to those days of reading those stories. So this is great. And also, like, you know, those early days of Chevy Chase can't be beat. That comic timing is impeccable.
Yeah. He's great. And it's it probably won't be our last John Hughes film either. He was so prolific. No. But hinted at earlier in the show, I've probably seen Vacation. It was one of my most all-time viewed films. And I'm this weird person who can watch funny stuff over and over, good performances over and over, great lines. If it's done well, I can't get enough of it. And that's why I can watch Vacation so much. But I haven't watched it in years. I love the Clark W. Griswold character. He is the eternal optimist who just, you root for him because he's so clueless sometimes.
Yeah.
And, but you also identify with Beverly D'Angelo because he's kind of an idiot. So it just totally works. And as a dad now who has been on vacation, and there's a great Onion headline that says, father or dad spends vacation walking 15 feet in front of rest of family. And that's kind of how, I mean, I'm like that too. Like, come on, let's go. And, you know, you get really excited and they're playing the video games and he wants to watch the trip layout on the computer. All that kind of stuff just makes Clark Griswold. That is why I love this movie. And it is because of that character. And whether you like Chevy Chase or not, you have to give him his due because he created Clark Griswold. Clark Griswold was there in the script, but Chevy Chase improv so much stuff, and he just became the character, and he's great in it. And it, like you said, Greg, there are so many great, you know, the cruiser from Stripes is in there at the gas station. The guy who plays Roy Wally is hilarious.
Yes,
I had his name here a second ago. But it's just a great film and a great pick, Dom.
Dom, what about you?
I really like the movie. Again, I haven't watched it for a long time. It's been a long time since the last time I watched it. And I did really like the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I watched that more recently. But this one I really, really liked it. All of the stuff that happened, I felt like I knew was going to happen. and it still made it that much better. Like, there was just random stuff, like going to the cousin's house and all the things that are happening and bringing more people along. And then the dog ended up, you know, getting you know, lost, losing its life. But
lost. Yeah. Lost. Yeah. Totally. The dog was lost.
Quote unquote. But yeah,
the dog did not see Wally World.
It was really, really good. And it was perfect comedic timing. And it was also, it was one of my favorite movie club watches. So I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Nice.
I just want to add quickly too, like when I'm talking about Clark Griswold, it's the, you know, when he says stuff like, or maybe you don't want to see the world's second largest ball of twine, which is only 4 short hours. The second largest ball of twine. Love that. Love when he says stuff like to Ellen, his wife, he's about to walk across the desert and he goes, I just had a good talk with Rusty. You're in good hands here. With the 12-year-old? Like, what is... Yeah. It's just insanity. Yeah, it's just great, though.
We'll talk about that, because that's something I noticed throughout the movie as well. But we're going to talk more about National Lampoon's Vacation here on the Movie Club. You are a part of the conversation. Let us know your thoughts. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We are streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still more ahead. We are in the Movie Club here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned. Stay close. Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. I still call Twitter. We should all still call Twitter. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we'll be talking to Cash Money Carl. He's a comedian, and I'll be talking about his podcast, his stand-up comedy, and his mini-golf career. And we may or may not be having another nightly game curated by the Game Master himself, Mr. Dom Lee in Madison.
What?
I am Greg Bach. Yeah, I know.
Never know.
The Game Master returns. He returns to embarrass us with his quizzes. There we go. I am Greg Bach, coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine, all the way up in Marinette, Wisconsin, a.k.a. Christmas City, USA, is Mr. Pete Schwabe. And again, Dom Lee is in Madison at HQ. We are here in the Movie Club discussing the 1983 comedy written by John Hughes, directed by Harold Ramis, National Lampoon's Vacation, starring Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, and a cavalcade of stars. But we were just getting into our discussions on the film. And Pete, let's open up with your story regarding you meeting a certain C.W. Griswold.
Clark W. Yeah, I was on my, you know, I should have told this to David Zucker. I was on my way to a meeting with my writing partner, Greg. No relation.
Not me. Thanks.
To the Zucker Brothers company. We weren't meeting with them, but they had a director of development or something. And I'm on the elevator. Who gets on? Chevy Chase. So we're riding up. It's a very slow elevator. It's only like 3 floors. Mm-hmm. And I said something to him like the effect of, you know, I'm on an elevator with Chevy Chase. We're going to the same place. That's kind of cool. And he just nodded. But he didn't really say anything, but he might have gone like, huh. You know, and I said, was that better than I love your work? And he goes, yeah. He goes, you could have said you love me. That would have really freaked me out. And so I took a beat and I said, well, I do. And he laughed a little bit. And then we were going into the same place. My writing partner's movie, Meet the Parents, had just come out and crossed $100 million. So when Chevy Chase saw that, he was very talkative with us. I wasn't just the guy in the elevator, even though I had nothing to do with Meet the Parents.
That's
so, yeah, it was a fun story.
So funny. And, you know, for everything I know of Chevy Chase now, like all of the stories, the legend and all the things, the fact that you had that conversation and that he laughed and he was, you know, nice.
Yeah, it was okay.
Pre-knowing who you were, that's great. That makes me happy because Chevy Chase is one of those guys who grew up watching, and now you're like,
yeah,
he's kind of a jerk, but I still cannot like these movies. Whether it's the you know the vacation movies or the Fletch movies or Foul Play. Or, I mean, it just
seems like old times. Yeah,
seems like old times. Those he just or Caddyshack, and I'll say this too, and don't hate me, but Caddyshack 2, he is in and he's still very funny. That timing that he has that made him famous, it's fantastic. So I'm glad you had a good experience with him. But
yeah, me too. I was racking my brain saying something other than I love your, and I just decided to be honest with him, you know, and it was apparently he was not offended by that, which was good.
I can't say that from my experience with David Zucker. He was quite offended by almost everything I said.
Well, he renamed Dom Flemius or something like that. When
it was Florius. Yeah.
Florius. Yeah. You guys, do you have a favorite scene in Vacation? Because to me, I laughed just as hard last night as I did the first time I saw it when they show the family all sleeping and they pan over. And I wish I could remember if when I saw that for the first time, if I saw it coming. I don't think I did. And then you see Chevy Chase completely asleep at the wheel. One of the biggest laughs in movie history. That's one of my favorite laughs in the film. And then also the cop after they strap the dog. And they have that awkward exchange.
That guy, James Keach, I looked him up just before we got on the air because that guy was in so many. He was always the henchman or a bad guy. And I believe he's the brother of Stacy Keach. I think so, because they look exactly alike. I mean, really, when it comes down to it. But yeah, that guy, he's just a great bad guy. And he's just, that scene takes such a weird turn because he just starts crying. You're like, what is happening right now? honestly, so like great. my favorite scene is the one I brought it for a clip, and it's the scene with John Candy where he enters the picture deep into the third act.
So funny.
And honestly, I think part of it has to do with the fact that the voice he chose for the character itself. And I think when that movie came out, he was starting to make movies. He wasn't famous yet, but he was still like, he just owns the moment. And honestly, when you think of Chevy Chase, there are a few performers who can share the stage with him and share space. Like, he usually dominates. Chevy dominates in those spaces.
Right.
And I would say another example would be him and Bill Murray in Caddyshack. But I think John Candy definitely brings it. If we could play that clip real quick. And one of the things I love about, and if you've listened to the show ever or anything I've ever done on the radio, I utilize my legal pad a lot when I'm trying to do a joke. That's partly where it comes from, is just that.
All right.
Just that long use. John Candy makes everything better, personally.
Yeah.
Like, he just makes everything better. And when just he, and what's funny is that they're in Los Angeles, but he sounds like a guy who's from Minnesota. Hello, everybody. I'm a security guard at Wally World. You know, like, it's just fantastic.
Accent. Yeah.
I know. It's so, so, so great. Love that scene so much.
And just moments later, he's like, that's a BB gun, Clark.
Yes.
It could still hurt. You couldn't even break the skin. It could break the skin and cause a very bad infection.
Oh, that's just an old wives' tale.
Here's a great. Oh, I want to talk about too. One of my favorites is Eugene Levy, also another Second City player.
Yes,
selling the car, and he's just so full of it. Some of the lines in this movie that are so subtle. I love when he says, "We ordered the metallic blue with the optional rally fun pack." And then when they're checking into the tents and Brian Doyle Murray comes out and he's the guy with the spitting watermelon seeds in his hand and he goes, $37. And Chevy Chase says, $37 for three tents. He goes, oh, they're very nice tents. And that price includes scenery and wildlife fun. What is that? That's like nothing. It's so great. Like, all those little lines in this movie like that are outstanding.
And we really can't like go far without talking about one of the most legendary comic actors of all time, Miss Imogene Coca, who's in this film. I mean, Dom, I don't want to assume you don't know who she is, but she is probably the first funny lady of comedy because she was on the old Sid Caesar shows back in the 50s. And the way she plays Aunt Edna is so funny because she could easily just be like she's mean, but she's mean and energetic. There's something about her choice of being the way she is versus what she could have been. Like, I'm just an old bit of woman, man. But right. She's like, she's sharp. She's on it. She doesn't take any guff from anyone, especially Clark. But I just love that she's in this movie.
That's so great. And here's some interesting, some things that might have happened in the film that didn't. The original ending, it says, was darker. The film's original climax featured a much gloomier ending where the Griswolds never actually made it to Wally World and Clark Griswold suffered a complete nervous breakdown and held the park's staff hostage. Jeez, that's a different movie.
I mean, wow. I always have a very deep interest in those darker endings. But then you think to yourself, this just doesn't... I don't think we look back on this film with the same love and reverence if it ends poorly.
Right.
You know?
I agree.
Although I would have paid to see that ending. If they would have shot that, I would have definitely paid to see that.
Well, it said in this, where I read that, it was probably on IMDb Pro, they took that ending for Christmas Vacation and kind of used it when Cousin Eddie kidnapped the actor. And did the actor, was that Roy Wally? Doyle Murray. Right.
It was Brian Doyle Murray.
The other thing I thought was a connection between this film and Christmas Vacation. And again, National Lampoon, bunch of white dudes writing comedy.
Yeah.
You know, it's all them dealing with their midlife. Like Clark has Christie Brinkley. You could argue, is that a figment of his imagination? Because it kind of tracks. He jumps in the pool because he's just upset. Maybe there isn't really a girl there. And people, no one ever said, although Beverly D'Angelo says in Christmas Vacation, it's the counter girl who's on the diving board and kicks her bikini bottoms over to Clark. So he's got this girl, this fantasy girl that is his escape from everyday life in both films, which I thought was kind of funny.
Well, and that's the thing I was going to ask you this. I'm glad you brought it up because I wanted to. Pete, you've been married for some time.
Yeah.
I've been married for some time. Dom, you've been in a relationship for some time now. How long you and your lady been together?
Almost 4 years.
Almost 4 years.
Oh, wow.
Is there a version of this story where that happens, where you dive into a pool with a nude woman that you don't know and you get caught, where it's simply, are you mad at me? And she goes, I don't know. Maybe it's my fault too. And they kiss and they go jump in. Is there a version where that happens? Or is it you're going up to the door to talk to her and it's like, oh, it's locked. Of course it's locked. I've messed up.
I would be single.
Yeah.
I would be single.
That's again, that's written from the guy perspective. How great a girl am I married to? She just looks the other way or says, I kind of don't blame you. It's a supermodel.
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
And the other thing I will say really quick is that you mentioned him a couple times, but Eddie Bracken, who played Roy Wally. Now, if you've never seen this movie or if you've seen it, you know that they're going to Disney World, essentially. That everything about that is Disneyland. It's Disneyland, I should say, because it's in Los Angeles. Look at Eddie Bracken in that movie and put him next to a picture of either Roy or Walt Disney.
Yeah.
And that is a choice. That is a direct and purposeful choice. Oh my goodness.
And another great, well, I messed up. I took hostages. I shot John Candy with a BB gun in the butt. Yeah. Let's just look the other way. That ain't happening these days. I don't think it ever would have happened then, but, we do have some texts about the movie, Dom, if you want to do the honors.
Absolutely. Get here to it here. We got Tony the Trucker texting in, says, fellas, American Graffiti, so many future stars. And then Bridget said, we're all going to have so much fun. We'll need plastic surgery to remove our God blank smiles. Clark Griswold captured what most family vacations are like for families.
Very true.
Very true, Bridget.
And then Joe has a comment too.
He says, I love the Russ and Clark dynamic right here.
Did they have, I know they had the talk in the desert. They had the talk, in the talk in the desert, Clark wants to talk to Rusty, gives him the beer. Yeah. The beer thing is hilarious. Both of them with the and then Russ is like at the hotel, like, I got to go talk to Dad.
I love when they're sitting there too. And Rusty's got the Kleenex in his nose and Clark just looks at it and takes it. Nah, sure you do. Takes it and throws it out like he's embarrassed or something.
Great oh my text. Gosh. Another movie we could talk hours and hours about. Thank you so much, folks, for joining us in the movie club. We'll be back next Thursday, same time. We'll be announcing the movie very, very soon, so don't go anywhere. In fact, don't go anywhere because when we come back, We're going into the nightcap, so stay tuned, stay close. You are listening and or watching Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network.
Rusty.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's time to wind it down. Let's take a moment to look back and ask, what did we learn today? This is Nightcap with Greg and Pete.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. I am Greg Bach, coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine, all the way up in Marinette, Wisconsin, a.k.a. Christmas City, USA, is Mr. Pete Schwabe. And at HQ for Civic Media is Mr. Dom Lee on the ones and twos. And we are officially in the nightcap, where we hear from the last-minute messages, last-minute thoughts from you on our question of the night. What is your favorite all-time summer blockbuster movie? And we talk about what we learn. Are there any other last-minute messages on Facebook or the text line regarding, well, anything, really?
I am checking. Every once in a while, I know we got a couple new ones on Facebook, and I can't access them for some reason. But all the messages have been great. Everyone has been... Love when you guys participate and tell us.
Absolutely.
And answer the question of the night. It just makes the show a lot more fun. So thank you.
And last segment, I had one, but I didn't. I skimmed over it really quickly. I want to rephrase it. Tony the Trucker texted and said, "Fellas, American Graffiti, so many future stars."
Oh, very, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
I mean,
including Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison Ford, Cindy Williams, and Ron Howard's in it. And
his brother.
Clint Howard, sons of Rance Howard. God, I love the name Rance. What a good name. And written and directed by George Lucas. So
that was his first film.
That was his first major film. His first film was THX 1138, which, okay. So that movie was good, and then he went and Star Wars did where he messed with it. He like took the CGI technology today and was like, I'm going to redo that movie from 1971 and make it look modern. Like, why? You don't need to. Just let it be. We have a few more messages here on the Facebook page. On mine, Victoria says Star Wars and Jurassic Park, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Joseph says Independence Day. My friend Mary says Batman OG version. I'm assuming she means the 89 version, not the 40s version,
no.
Or Batman 68.
Batman Begins, maybe? 06?
No, she's talking. I know she's talking Michael Keaton.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
And then Rex, my buddy Rex, says Jurassic Park 100%.
Another one I totally forgot about.
Really good.
Yeah.
Here, Chuck Gennaro, our Civic Media pal, says Kentucky Fried Movie, David Zucker and Zucker Brothers. And then my pal Danny, maybe probably because he was an extra in the movie The Godfather of Green Bay, of course, didn't come out in the summer. But thanks, Dan. Appreciate the plug.
You mean that movie you wrote and directed some time ago, The Godfather of Green Bay, available on video demand?
No longer available at Blockbuster, unfortunately, but you can rent it on Tubi, Amazon Prime, I believe Apple. Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you, Dan.
There we go.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. That was very, very fun. We do the movie club every single Thursday in the second hour. So, and hey, here's the thing. If you have a suggestion on a movie we should watch, you can email that to us, nightlight@civicmedia.us, nightlight@civicmedia.us. And maybe, just maybe, if we pick it, we'll give you a shout out. We'd love to do
maybe
that.
More. We're working on that.
The big goal is to have some prize packs. We want to get like this. We want to make this bigger. We want to involve you folks right there because you are what makes this show amazing, and us too. We're a healthy part of the equation. But Pete, what did you learn tonight?
Man, that's a great question. I kind of just got wrapped up in the show. I learned that I want to see this new Kiki Palmer film that Rob reviewed called I Love Boosters. And
yeah.
I learned that Dom has great taste in summer comedies. Well done, sir.
No problem. No problem. Really
nice.
Good. Really good flick. Loved it.
Yeah. Dom, what did you learn?
I learned also that there's a lot more blockbuster movies that are coming out this summer. A lot of blockbuster movies that were in the past that I need to watch. It was a big movie night tonight, and I really enjoyed it, and I'm excited to watch more movies.
What of the blockbuster movies that were talked about this evening haven't you seen?
Let's see here. I don't think I've watched all of the Jurassic Parks. I've also haven't watched many of the Star Wars as well. There's quite a few. I know. I think there's more that just aren't coming to mind. But I know I haven't watched quite a few, and I need to get back to it.
I have to say, I'm surprised you haven't seen the Jurassic Parks because you're kind of that age, and kids around when you were a kid loved dinosaurs. That does surprise me.
Though. Yeah, I've watched the first one, but I haven't watched all of them, and I really need to watch all.
We'll get there.
Do you need
pace yourself?
Are they good? Are all of them good? I don't know.
I mean, I feel like they have varying degrees of quality. If you ask the big fans, I've only seen the first one ever, and I'm like, this will do. I'm good. Yeah. Fine.
This is kind of funny, guys. This is like a last minute thing I just saw, that when Donald Trump was asked if he's going to Don Jr.'s wedding, did you see this? He said he'd like me to go, but it's going to just be a small private affair. I'm going to try and make it, but the timing is bad for me. I have a thing called Iran and other things. That's the one I can't win on. If I do attend, I get killed, and if I don't attend, I get killed. And he said he's known his son a long time.
Jesus. Oh, it was supposed to be in the White House. That wedding was supposed to be in the White House, and they changed it to a small island because they were like, the optics. I'm like, the optics aren't good in any way, shape, or form. Period. Don't worry about the optics. And Mr. President, you should go to the wedding. It'll make you look like a human.
Take a breather. Yeah, exactly.
All right, folks. We got to get on out of here, but don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking to Cash Money Carl. He's a comedian, and we'll talk about his podcast, his stand-up comedy, and his mini golf career. That's right. He's sponsored. And we'll be unveiling yet another nightly game here from the Quizmaster / Game Master, the man himself, Mr. Dom Lee. That will be all on tomorrow's show. It will be Casual Friday, which means we're kicking back, relaxing, and having some fun. But let's get on out of here. As always, thank you so much to Tucker and to Dom and to engineering and traffic for everything you do. Mr. Chris Casper, everything you do has been wonderful. So we adore you, and good luck to you, our friend. to everyone who texted, called, all those things, thank you very much. You are what makes this show amazing, and we got to kick out. So we will talk to you tomorrow, same time, same station. So have a great night, folks. Take it easy, and the weekend is almost here, so let's sign off right. Mr. Pete Schwab, say goodnight to the folks.
Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.